and all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have this day. It's beautiful out. And Father, we just know that this world is not our home, and we just want to go home. So, Father, we just ask that you would help us with this sermon today, and may the people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm not even going to talk about what happened yesterday, but I did say last Sunday that it would happen. But they're not over yet, and the election hasn't taken place yet. So we're far, far away from it. So anyway, this morning I'm going to be looking at, this is actually Satan's Eden number 176, marriage covenant number 5, actually. And this morning we will continue on our series on the marriage covenant. As you know, we have taken the Ten Commandments, which God set forth for man, that through these laws, man might draw closer to the Lord. I do not believe that God set forth the Ten Commandments to be some club to beat upon, beat man up and down with and keep him under some form of bondage. You know, laws are not made to punish. Laws are actually made to create circumstances whereby you live a better life. So rather, these are 10 laws, or shall we say rules, that were meant to establish and maintain the relationship between God and man. Now, remember, the word law is the word Torah, and its actual meaning means the instructions of the Father. But men think in terms of law because their minds are legalistic. So it is not the law in a legal sense of the word, but more like law that governs, such as we have the laws of physics, which are not meant to be used as a club to beat man down with. You don't beat man down with the laws of physics, okay? We also have the law of nature, the law of gravity, and the law of reproduction. You don't beat man down with any of those laws. These are laws or principles, and yet we don't think of them in terms of do or die. We think of these laws more in terms of defining principles. The laws of physics defines the boundaries and parameters for understanding physics. The law of gravity is a set of definitions that defines the boundaries and parameters of gravity. And so we have the law of nature to help us to understand nature. God gave us the law of reproduction to help us to understand the workings of the seed. These are all laws which God has set forth to establish and maintain the earth and its inhabitants. They are indeed laws, but they have not been viewed in the same sense as has been the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were never understood as God intended them to be understood. And had they understood them right, they would not have done what they've done. So God set them forth to govern our relationship with him. They are for our benefit, not to be used as a club to keep us in line, but rather to help us understand what a relationship is and how it works and how it maintains. In this case, they were not given, just given that we might have a better relationship with our Heavenly Father, but they were given that we might have a proper tools for all relationships. The first commandment we examined was, "Thou shalt have no other." This commandment not only applies in our relationship to God, but in our relationship to our spouse as well. Not only did God tell us, "Thou shalt have no other God besides him," but he also told us that we should make no thing an object of worship or place our affections on that which would come between him, himself and us. We found that this principle applies to marriage covenant as well. If we are to not only establish but build up our relationship. All right, we look at the second commandment that the Lord God said, "Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God in vain," which also says, "Do not use my name in vain either." We have abbreviated this word to be "in vain," meaning we should not allow our relationship to become carefree or careless in our attitude. Do not let your relationship become common to you. As we apply this commandment to the marriage covenant, we found it is essential to keep the marriage relationship alive and vibrant, but never allowing our relationship to become old or worn out. Neither do we want to make an idol out of it, okay? Now, he said, not in vain. And the word vain means useless or to take it lightly. And if your relationship are to flourish, you shall not take them in vain. The third commandment, God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We follow that this commandment calls for us to make a habit of setting aside time where we do nothing but spend quality time in his presence. And in marriage, it means to spend quality time together. And as a family, we spend quality time together. Vine's exposition of dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words says the word Sabbath means to cease or desist, which speaks of rest. The idea is not that relaxation or refreshment, but of a cessation from activity. God said, remember to keep this time, to set it apart from all other days, and the words to keep it holy simply means set apart. Therefore, God is telling us to set aside a day or time where we do absolutely nothing but focus on our relationship. And we see how necessary it is in our relationship with God as well as with our spouse. We need the time to just be together without any distractions. There is no better way for a man and woman to relight that fire between them than to just be together with nothing else to do than just work on their relationship. So this morning, we should continue with our examination of marriage covenant in the light of the Ten Commandments. We shall turn to Exodus 20 and 12, and we will read the fourth commandment, which God gave to men. We read it as thus, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, the first thing that might come to your mind is, how does this commandment have to do with our relationship to God? And how does it have to do with our husband and our wife? And yet I will tell you that this fourth commandment is one of the most important commandments of all, because without it, no relationship could ever begin. This commandment is a very important principle in beginning your search for a husband and a wife. This commandment reflects what is inside of the person. Jesus told us in Matthew 15:3, but he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. The we says, be placing a correct evaluation upon your father and mother, and be according them the reverence and veneration due them. And he that curses father, the we says, he that calls down curse upon father and mother, let him die the death. The we also says, let him come to his end by death. But they say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, look at me, I'm God's gift to men or whatever. Well, the we says, it is a gift dedicated to God, whatever it may be, of which you might derive help from me. He will positively not pay due reverence and respect to his father and mother. In other words, you say, well, you know what? I helped you, you know, but I don't really have to help you because, you know, you don't own me. I'm just your daughter, or I'm just your husband. But no, the Bible says the proper attitude is take your time and with respect and help your parents. Okay, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Again, in the Weiss translation, ye hypocrites, you are actors on the stage of life, playing a role of that which you are not. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. This people places a correct evaluation of me with their lips and honoreth me with their lips. Okay, the Weiss also says, and with lip service accords me all the due reverence and veneration, but their heart is far from me. And again, the we says, but their hearts hold back at a great distance from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, the message is not, the doctrines that Brother Branham brought us are not being taught in the message churches. They're being taught to understand the commandments of men. And then he called in the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. The Weiss translation says, now I want you to notice that Jesus sums up this conversation by saying, he says, it is not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, that this defiles a man. So we follow up with another saying which Jesus left us. He said, For every tree is known by its own fruits. For the thorns of men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth which is good, that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Therefore, when we speak the honor of honoring our father and mother, we are looking right into the heart and soul of a young daughter or young man. That is why, if you want to make sure you marry someone who always shows you respect and will honor you in their marriage, just watch how they treat their parents. You watch a young man, how he treats his mother, and you will know how he will treat his wife. And you young men, pay close attention to how she treats her father, because that is the way she will treat her husband, and don't be fooled by her looks. But watch her and observe what kind of respect and honor that she gives her father, and you will see how she will treat you. Notice in Matthew 15:3, Jesus quoted his father saying, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother." Now, the word honor that Jesus used in the Greek word is the Greek word timaio, and it means to estimate, to fix a value for something belonging to oneself, to honor, to have an honor, to revere, to venerate, to honor with many honors. That is why the Weiss translation says, by placing a correct evaluation upon your father and mother and be according them the reverence and veneration due them. Therefore, we are looking at this thought of honor. This is the value we set on something, and more specifically, the value we set on our parents. Therefore, we must watch and see what value they place on their parents, because that will tell you the value they will place on their marriage partner. We see in the same Greek word used in Matthew 7:29 as the word value. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value." The Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, and that it might be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, notice Paul said, honor your parents, which means to respect, value, and venerate your parents. For this is the first commandment with a promise or blessing that will accompany it. And that blessing says, have the right respect and honor for your parents, and it will be well with you. God's blessing will come upon you and overtake you. In John 8:49, Jesus says, "I honor my father." And again, John 12:26, he says, "And if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant shall be. And if any man serve me, him will my father honor." Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." To honor your parents will not only bring forth the blessings of God upon you, but your children will also honor you. You will reap what you have sown. You give your parents fits, and you will receive fits yourself one day. In the following story, we will hear how Brother Branham honored his own father, even though his father had been a drunk most of his life. So, you know, this cancels out the argument. They say, "Well, I'll respect you when you respect me." No, you respect, period. The other person is held accountable whether they respect or not, okay? So from the life story, he says, "My dad did drink, but I don't care what he done. He's still my daddy." And let me stop here for a moment and say this. You can't change who you are, nor can you change the fact of who your parents are. Nor can I change the fact of who my children are. Your DNA came from your parents, which means your entire makeup came forth from them. Therefore, no matter how much you may wish otherwise, they're a part of you in such a way that you could never get rid of that fact. You'd have to get rid of yourself. All right? Your parents are implanted in every fiber of your being, every cell in your body. And you owe your entire existence to the fact that they came together in an act of love. From the life story, he says, "And let me tell you something, young folks, this afternoon. Don't you never get little enough to call your mother and dad the old man and old woman. You don't never do that, no matter what they are, no matter what they are. You respect them as your dad and mother. You'll never know how you love them till you hear the squeaking of the casket going out and knowing that that's the last of it. It won't be the old man then or the old woman then. A lot of times they're right when you think that they're wrong. Always honor thy father and thy mother, which may lengthen the days upon earth, and the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's the first commandment with promise. Be kind to your mother and dad. I remember my daddy died. He was just beginning to gray a little bit in the temples. And when he laid there in the casket, I picked up his head, which had died right in my arms. And I picked up his head and his locks of hair fall down. And I thought, oh, Dad, I looked at his hand. And he had his finger cut off there in the shredder one day. And I thought of all the heartaches that I'd caused him. It wasn't the old man. That was my daddy. I don't care who else, what they thought about him. He was still my dad, and I loved him. And I love him today, and I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. Now, and my mother also, my mother is living. And she's supposed to arrive here this afternoon, and I trust that she will get here. Now, back in those days, I remember some of the little things, just for detail. I remember one of the things that outstood in that stood out in them days. As every Saturday night, we would go to get a little groceries. Did you know, did you ever have to do that? Go in on a Saturday night and get the food for the week? We lived in the country, and I'd worked hard all week. I got a dime when I was a great big boy, 12, 14 years old. I got 10 cents, and Dad said, don't spend it all in one place, 10 cents. Billy said, Daddy, you got $5 you can let me have. How things have changed, certainly. So we are looking at honor. And as I said, you watch how that boy treats his mother and you watch how that girl treats her father. And that is the way that they will treat their spouse. You hear that? That's what the prophet said. And if we believe these 10 commandments were more than just 10 laws to live by, and we believe that they are actually a set of laws which govern all of our relationships, then first our relationships begin between God and man. And the next, the relationship begins between husband and wife. And then we should ensure in our marriage that there will be honor between both parties. Honor, which means to hold in high esteem. It means to value the relationship and especially the other half of that relationship. How many times I have heard men speak evil of their wives, calling them the old lady. Let's go to the pool hall, boys. The old lady's not home tonight. I can't understand people who treat the other disrespectfully like that. It's no wonder the divorce rate in America is so high. My own brothers went through divorces for this very same reason. One brother's wife never showed him the proper respect. I can remember as long as I have known her, she called him Turkey. He retired from the Marine Corps as a major. He was an officer for 20 years, and as an officer, he was shown respect by his fellow officers and the majority of men and women in the service ranks. They would salute him. That salute would show the proper way of paying tribute to his rank, okay? That's the one thing I like about the military. It does teach a young man or woman how to show respect. Though they may not like that officer, yet they show respect toward that officer. It's part of the military culture. You do it or else. And oh, how different things would be today in our society if people had held onto this law of respect. You don't find it in society today. It's all, you know, people wanting to talk to the president like he's some dumb hillbilly or something. to show you how important this law of respect is, Brother Bram said from Question and Answers on Hebrews, he said, what is it? Our nation has come so little until they've even taken the jobs away from the men and put women out there in these places till 90% of them nearly are prostitutes. You hear that? And talk about man being gone. Sure, it's because they've got women out there in their jobs. And they got so low down till they put a woman as peace officers in the street. That's a disgrace to any nation. Do you realize the DEI Secret Service that were around Trump? There was 3 women and 2 men. And nobody standing by his side when he's giving that speech. Nobody standing at the 4 posts. You know, nobody was protecting him. They were down below and they had to run up and everything else to get, you know, they were out of the picture. They were out of the line of fire. They're supposed to be in the line of fire. Now, it was a setup, and I will just say that. Multiple people said there was multiple shots from multiple places. They got one guy who happened to be the patsy. But the other guy who actually did the shooting said on tape this morning, he said, they got the wrong guy. He said, I am Thomas Matthew Crooks, not the man on the... But they shot his face off. They could take a long time to identify who it was and let the other guy escape. Now, see, that's how low and crooked our nation has become. And as I said it back in 2020, Trump will not come back in. They're going to do away with him. They're going to do something. Well, they tried it. You know, they tried 91 different times or 91 different, 91 different felonies and four different court cases. And they tried to impeach him twice and everything else, get rid of him. They weren't able to do it. Now they're trying to shoot him. And the man was shot in the head. Fortunately, he went through an ear, the top of the ear. Now, that's about as close as you can get, because there's only a couple of hairs between your ear and your head. So that was divine providence that kept him alive. And I'm not a Trump man, and I'm not a Biden man. I'm a Jesus man, okay? And, you know, Trump has his fallacies, but if you look at every policy he did have when he was president, every one of them you can find, none of them went against this. Not one of them. All right. So look at him and look at the other man and look at how many policies his went against this. So just talking. And talk about man being gone. Sure. It's because they got a woman out there in their job and they got so low down, put women as peace officers on the street. That's a disgrace to any nation. You think a woman can outrun a man? Come on. Do you really think that? There might be three or four women in the nation that can outrun an old fat man. But most men can fight and you know, it just, I don't see what they've got him in those positions for, period. All right? So, yes, sir, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about Brother Bram? I have to respect it. I'm an American citizen. I do what the big boss says do. If a family ever loses its respect to the family, the children lose respect to the parents, that family's tore to pieces. If a church ever loses respect of its pastor, why, that church is gone. And if a nation ever loses their respect for the Supreme Court and its decisions, that nation has gone to pieces. That's exactly right. We've got to respect those things because they're the big boss, see? But it isn't right in the beginning, absolutely. And from the message of respect, he said, if you can't respect the man, respect the office that he holds in God. That's exactly right. See, respect him. If a minister comes up, your pastor, always respect him. I've heard congregations talk about their pastor, how just talk about him, run him down, ridicule him. How is that pastor ever going to do anything for you? He can't do it. You don't. I don't say this church, but I mean churches. I've seen it. If that church, and you've got to love your pastor. You've got to know that he's a human being, but yet God has made him his pastor. The Holy Ghost has made him overseer. Then you've got to respect him in that manner. And no matter what the pastor's done, if you respect him in your heart as God's servant, God will respect you for doing it. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, Jesus said. He that don't receive me can't receive him. How can you imagine coming home every night from an atmosphere of respect and honor and walking in the door and receiving disrespect? Then to have your children fed the same disrespect until they begin to do the same? I can hardly blame a man that would walk out on that. And what a marriage can hold together without without honor and respect between husband and wife. Paul gave us a prescription how that we can apply this golden rule in every aspect of our age. He said in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You don't do it in the name of the church. You don't do it in the name of grace fellowship or grace gospel or whatever. You do it in the name of Jesus. And if you can't do it in the name of Jesus, don't do it. giving thanks to God and their Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. So there's end of all arguments. Now notice Paul is saying, as long as what he is asking you to do is not contrary to the word of God, then submit to it. Be subject to it, yield to it, for this is right in the Lord. This is to show respect, and it is right in the Lord. But today the women will not do it. There's a spirit on the women today, especially here in America, they want to fuss all the time. Don't forget, we are still living in Laodicea. The age of the people's rights and honor and respect was thrown out the door a long time ago. Women want to have it their way. You think there's going to be people that make it in heaven that have to have it their way? I'm sorry, God's going to say my way or the highway. And it has worked its way down among the children until they won't obey like they're commanded by God to do. I hope you women listen up, and you children better take heed. When your husband tells you something needs to be done, you don't do it, you will have to answer to God one day for that. He shouldn't have to ask you over and over and over again. As long as what he's asking does not conflict with God's word in any way, what he asks you is God's command to you. Now, Eve, she says, well, I didn't disobey God. God never talked to me. Well, he talked to your husband, and your husband told you what he said. He said, you can't eat of that fruit. She never heard it from God himself. She heard it from her husband. But she's held accountable because the husband is her head. And you children, when you disobey father and mother, you are disobeying God. In the Old Testament, God commanded the parent to take a child that was disobedient and stone them. You know that? They didn't get away with the stuff today that the kids do. They stoned them. For their rebellion is worse than witchcraft in the eyes of God. Then Paul says and continues in saying, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, Paul would not have commanded husbands to be not bitter against them if there wasn't a propensity for men to become bitter. Women do have a tendency to nag. Men do not nag. The nag is a female horse, not a male horse. And men might complain, but to nag is to repeat over and over and over again like a constant drip from a faucet that can't be fixed. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, said, it is better to dwell in a house, in the corner of a housetop, than to live than with a brawling woman in a wide house. He also said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So many women just drive their husbands away from them. How? By their constant nagging all the time. You know what God says? For his description of a contentious woman, he says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. In other words, they won't let up. Just nag, 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 drip, 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 drip. Look, it does not matter whether you are right or wrong. It is a nagging that God said makes you a contentious woman. Now, you can be like the woman who said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? You know, her husband came in, threw the eggs in the floor and everything else. She didn't get mad. She didn't nag him. She just started singing sweetly to Jesus that this was a predestinated trial for her. And that is, thus saith God's holy word. So if you want to argue with that, then argue with God. But as Paul said, who are you that replieth against God? I think the 20th century translation of that should be, who do you think you are to be so stupid as to argue with God? You think you can argue with God and get away with it? And yet they continue to do so even knowing what God said against it. If the shoe fits, then wear it. If God says a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike, he means what he said. Then if your nagging is continuous, you are a contentious woman. Not because I say so. I have no thought coming. But because God says so. But the thing of it is, you men, when you have a wife that is contentious, you need to be little messiahs. You need to be a savior of your house and create an atmosphere that will help the little wife to come out of that demonic influence. And I say it is demonic. from healing, from explaining healing in Jairus, Brother Bram said, we ought to get ourselves in that kind of an atmosphere, create. Each one of you is a creator. Did you know that? Each one of you people that's born again is a creator. We must create an atmosphere, as I said the other night. Sometimes when I'm in home and my wife is and all the people in and out and just going all the time, and I'll go in and the wife's standing in there wiping her eyes, crying, and she said, Billy, the children hasn't even had a bite to eat today, and the house is packed and jammed. There, little Sarah, my two-year-old girl, sitting in there, she's crying. Rebecca's come in from school. Why? My wife, all nervous, has got that atmosphere there. See, that's what it is. Well, I don't tell her. She's not here tonight, so she don't know it. So I go and say, well, and I tell you, honey, that's true. I said, oh, I've come to the house once in a while, you know. But I say, sweetheart, you know, to kindly get her quieted down. Then I, in my heart, I say, see, while I'm talking to her out loud, or I says, then in my heart, I say, Lord, I'm giving my love of God into my wife. Now, Lord, you help me now here, and I want your spirit. Now, Satan will get us all confused, but I want you to help me. And I say, dear, I'll help you with the dishes. And I'll get there and say, you just start with the children, like say something there. And I'm standing there all the time praying. Now, Lord, send your Holy Spirit. And I know it's quieting them right now. And I'm sending it in my home, in the name of your son, Jesus. And the first thing you know, the wife says, and she'll be interested in talking about something. The baby's got blocks of playing there going on, and it's all over. See? It's the atmosphere. You got to get away from it, see, from that old confusion. Oh, I'm going to be, you're scared. That's what's the matter. You'll be frying your meat of a morning for breakfast, and the first thing you know, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now I'm going to shock you a little bit. You don't mind, do you? All right. For instance, the meat's frying, and all at once the grease pops out on your hand. Now, if you'll just shake it off and go on frying meat, it wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't bother you. Now, I know you didn't get that just right. Look, the first thing, oh, where's the unguentine? That's an old product they used to use to take away pain. Something, or you see, you grab your hand, see, it scares you to death. That's what does it. It's fear, Peter walking on the water. He's walking all right till he's seen the wave, contrary to, and he got scared. Jesus said, why do you fear? What's the matter with the Holy Ghost people today? They've got a lot of being afraid. You know, I told this story up at Brother Vail's years ago, and Sister Sheila Applegate came up to me a couple of weeks later, and she said, you know, I heard that sermon that you preached on Home in the House of God. And she said that quote where Brother Bram talked about, you know, you're frying eggs and it pops on you. And you know, so she said, I was weeding at the church, and I just going about it, not paying attention. And I grabbed a whole bunch of poison ivy. And she said, and me, you know, you knowing me, she said, when we got married with Steve, she said, I got poison ivy that just spread over my entire body. She said, I was just very allergic to it. But I looked at that and I thought about what you said, and I just tossed it away and kept weeding. And she said, nothing happened to me. Nothing happened to me. All right. So next time a spider bites you, just slap it and go on with your life. Don't worry about it. It's going to, oh, it hurts. It hurts. Oh, it's big. It's swelling up. Just forget about it. All right. The devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put you off somewhere else. Say, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Not you're going to grow up to be a son of God. You are now sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have power in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We've got it now. We're right now, we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What are you here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Isn't that beautiful? Those who we called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he justified, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Whew. Wasn't that deep? All right. we'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are there is a reflection. Here, what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from. You know where your other body is awaiting. Now you say about the grease on the hand. Well, one day Paul said, the Lord told Paul he had to go down and appear before Caesar and got shipwrecked out there. And the Lord gave him a vision, told him what was going to happen. 14 days and nights, no stars, moon, or nothing. Didn't worry Paul, because he knew what the Lord said. And he said, I saw a vision last night. A man stood by me and told me that I was going to be taken before Caesar. And said, I seen it in a vision. And the ship was going to be wrecked on a certain island. But said, there ain't going to be nobody's life lost. Said, the Lord told me so. Said, we're going to be of a good courage. I can see that little Jew shaking his hand and screaming at the top of his voice, and the ship just pitching as hard as it can ever did. Didn't bother him. He knowed what the Lord said. See? It's like when we're on the plane going down, the Lord told me to go to Brazil to preach. And all of a sudden, a bunch of geese flew into the plane. Right next to Christie's window was the jet, and it was all in flame. And she turned to me and she said, Dad, I never knew what it would be like to die. I said, don't worry, we're not going to die. You're just going to have to change planes, that's all. And that's what happened. See, I just knew that we were going down there because God sent me down there. Now, Paul was picking up some sticks and he threw it in some fire, and a big dangerous snake grabbed him right through the hand. Why? It never scared Paul. He looked at it like that, so full of the Holy Ghost, his whole inner body just charged with the power of God. He looked at it and he shook it off the fire and he said, I've got to go before Caesar. What are you bothering me about like that? And went walking on. It didn't bother him. See, didn't scare him a bit. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to please God? Then obey your parents. You see? He didn't say, obey your parents once in a while. He said, in all things. All. A-double-L. All things. Not just when you feel like it, but in all. Everything. They ask you, obey it. Your life is not your own until you're married and living on your own. As long as you are living under their roof, they own you. You are their children, and you should be expected to be treated as a child. But if you are a real, genuine father, you will not take advantage of your obedient children. For you are commanded in verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And that goes for you mothers as well, because you are under the headship of your husband, the father of your children. His word is the last word. What he says is the law of his house. And you are the minister to carry out that law in his house. Therefore, do not provoke them. Do not keep needling them and cajoling them. Tell them once and then leave it. If they disobey, use a rod, or you will spoil that child. That is God's ordained way. Did you know God said, if you don't use a rod, you hate your son? Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, I asked Brother Steve, you worked, what, 45 years for the same company? Huh, 50? Can you, any of you think of working 50 years for the same company? He did it, and they gave him some really terrible jobs. I mean, I remember his arms were all almost like painted. You know, they're discolored orange and stuff like that. And that was because they didn't use anything to protect the people. They had them moving stuff out of a vat, you know, filled with chemicals and everything else. And I said, why do you do it? Why do you put up with it? He said, because what I do, I'm serving the Lord. And I don't work for them. I work for Jesus. I want you to take note. That man is 75. How are you, 75? Yeah. He's 75. He's served God his whole life in the way that God has him to serve. I told him that, you know, it's funny that we have in this message a Francis of Assisi, because all the cats end up at his house and he takes care of them regardless. He doesn't say, oh, I don't want that one, but I want this one. He takes care of all of them. So I think that's going to be his job on the other side as well. In the millennium, he's going to be watching over God's creatures, okay? Now, notice these last words on the subject. Whatsoever you do, and I, you know, we want to give you your roses while we can. Now, whatsoever you do, children, whatsoever you do, servants, whatsoever you do, wives, whatsoever you do, husbands, make sure that you are doing it as unto the Lord. And if you love and respect your wife, and you will not let her do what the world would cajole her to do. You will stand in the gap and do what is necessary to keep her. From the message from that time, Brother Brown said, excuse me, you'd listen to your doctor, and I'm telling you, brother, but see, these women, that's to be mothers out here with these little shorts on. It's a disgrace to humanity. Honest, I don't believe a dog would do that. And there are these women out here acting like that. It's the most pitiful thing I ever seen in my life. Most ridiculous thing. And then some boy see your girls out like that and then let them insult them. And then you want to send them to penitentiary. You're the cause of it by sending her out like that. And you men, let your wife go out like that. Shame on you. The matter ain't you got no more respect for your wife than that. Now, no matter, I don't want to get on that. Notice, that's a bad thing for me. Now, I lose too many friends over this, okay? But I know I'm staying in the friendship with Christ because it's written here. It's written right here. That is exactly right. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your correction, your loving words to help us, Lord, have a better relationship, not only with you, but also a better relationship with our spouse. And that, Lord, all these things are done for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.